us who ain't afraid to die. And all she wants to do is, all she wants to do is dance and make romance. She can't feel the heat coming off the street. She wants to party.
Well, the heat's coming off the streets later this afternoon, all the way up to 30 degrees. Normal high is about 14. Here we are in fall, and this is great weather for the harvest as it rolls on a little behind schedule, but Megan, a lot of time up in the fields here with this forecast that is going to be warm and dry through the coming week and weekend, too, by the looks of it as well. Our Saskatchewan Rough Riders may need sunblock today at practice. They got back to work yesterday. The focus is on Edmonton, of course, going to Edmonton this Saturday. However, it was also the first opportunity for my next guest to get some insight into how everyone was feeling about the new rule changes, including quarterback Trevor Harris.
I'm excited about, you know, the rule changes, and who knows if, you know, old people like me will be around. But you know, I know that there's good people in the league that understand what's good for the league, and I'm just excited to, like I said, just be a part of it.
Helping to bring us some of that reaction is my guest, Britton Gray, RCJME Rider reporter, and a little more tempered response than, say, Nathan Rourke from the BC Lions there, Britton.
Yeah, a little bit. You definitely can tell that maybe a little bit more time to digest the changes. Nathan Rourke obviously kind of reacting in the moment, right? And that's where you get kind of the more emotional reaction. But yeah, even talking to Brett Lawther, Corey Mace, no one has with the same reaction as Nathan Rourke. I'll say that even Brett Lawther said, you know, like some of the changes, don't like some of them, but his main thing was on grassroots football, right? What happens to youth sports and junior football, minor football? Because now that's really where a big conversation has to be had, right?
Yeah, it does. And I'm even curious, just, you know, from the standpoint of how the city of Regina is affected by this, you know, when it comes to scheduling in the future for high school football and everything else and what it means to them, too. But I'll ask the mayor about that tomorrow. He's in studio. But maybe your reaction. I know some people thought it's too Americanized now. I do not think that. I think we still have a bigger field, still a larger end zone. We still have ratios that we would love to debate, and we're still three downs, at least for now. What were your thoughts?
I agree with that. I think the spirit of Canadian football is still there. Yeah, there's some changes, but as even Trevor Harris mentioned, there's still 12 players on the field. The field's still wider, still larger end zones. There's a lot of still those uniqueness points to it that makes the CFL the CFL. But, I mean, it was always going to be tough. Change is tough. And I know that the 55-yard line, no one ever expected to lose that. And now that's going to be gone as they shorten the field and everything. And moving the goalposts, I was with Darrell Davis. We both agreed with, I like moving the goalposts. I thought it was a little bit of a safety hazard. And no other sport has an inanimate object that's just kind of there to prevent offenses or just to have there. I get for some people that's unique. I like the changes, but I also get where people are coming from. It's a slippery slope that they've kind of opened now to who knows what other changes could be on the way in the future.
All right, let's leave that alone for a moment. Let's get to the Riders. I know Coach Mace commented, I think, after practice that the club's mentality has got to be a lot sharper than that last game.
Yeah, absolutely. Now's the time where this team wants to start peaking, right? It's the final stretch. You're getting close to playoffs. They obviously want to clinch first place and have that first round bye there. But this is a team that can't have a game like that again, really. You want to start playing your best football, get sharp, because soon, if you have a game like that, your season's done, right? The playoffs are right around the corner, so let's see how this team responds after this bye week and accomplishes that goal of clinching first place in the West.
Now, the Ticats just edged the Elks last game. You could see the frustration on the sideline of Cody Fajardo. That was a close loss, but they're no slouch. This isn't going to be an easy one, is it?
No, Cody's really helped turn that team around this year and gave them the belief that they can go out and win with the more consistent quarterbacking play. You know, Edmonton wants to continue to kind of build and try and make a push here and just for the Elks, it's frustrating, right? Because they've gotten so close to maybe getting back to the playoffs here, and just to come up short once again, it might be tough for them, and because we know how big of a competitor Cody Fajardo is, right? So have to wait and see how this looks. I expect a desperate Elks team to come out and continue to put forward good performances, because they're not just building for this year. They want to finally build some positive momentum going over year over year.
Okay. Really quick, at practice yesterday, who was there, who wasn't? Quick update on injuries.
Sam Emlis was out there running with the ones, and so he looks like he's close. Keith Schaefer-Baker said it was full, but not doing too much with the first team. Tommy Neild still there. And how about Philippe Gagnon logging a full practice? He was lost early in training camp, and no one was sure if he'd be able to play, but he was out there logging full practice. Thomas Bertrand-Houdon is starting to get closer to getting back. And so very interesting as we see who gets healthier for this team, as I mentioned, tries to peak at the right time.
See Jamie Ryder, reporter, Britton Gray. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Well, this time tomorrow morning, we could be talking about hot weather records, I think. It's going up to 30 here, a little warmer than that in Moose Jaw. I think we're going to hit 33, 34 in some pockets of the Southwest today. Kevin Martell, sunscreen, hydration, it's all back.
Doesn't surprise me. Usually we have a few days in September, kind of late. I guess you can't call it summer anymore, but early in the fall, I guess we can say now is, yeah, we'll usually get a few days in the 30s. So here we are.
Here we go. And there's a city council meeting today, right?
There is. There have been a lot lately.
Now, I can't keep track. There was a budget meeting over at City Hall yesterday. Is that right?
Yeah. So they've been doing more of these, certainly. If it seems like there are more, it's because there are more. It's all part of this transparency increased transparency the city is trying to give us. They're estimating $59 million budget shortfall for next year. Those are the early indication, the early numbers the councillors are kind of getting ahead of, and we're getting ahead of as well. Usually we wouldn't know this until they actually start formally talking about the budget. So it's more of a heads up this time of year.
Doesn't so they're mean- trying to give them time to think about the future? Is that what, knowing that, okay, we're short this, and so when people come asking for this or that, we got to consider that.
Yeah, more time for council to consider how much services are expected to cost, and perhaps a longer period of time to really maybe get together, maybe to hear from people. Now that we know, that the public knows that we're going to be in a budget shortfall, how do we
brace ourselves?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. All right. Well, the mayor's in tomorrow. We'll expand on this conversation again tomorrow for his weekly visit as well. But Jimmy Kimmel was back, and everyone was wondering what Disney would make him say. And it's a joke, but here's what they told him.
A lot of people have been asking me if there are conditions for my return to the air, and there is one. Disney has asked me to read the following statement. I've agreed to do it. Here we go. To reactivate your Disney Plus and Hulu account, open the Disney Plus app on your smart TV or TV-connected device.
Well, that was his only kind of comment, and then he did not hold back. He did not soften up. He went pretty hard on Trump, and he also thanked Disney for having the kahunas to allow him to return again, didn't he?
Yeah, and at times he got a little emotional as well.
You understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man.
Obviously cracking up there a little bit, but he said he did post on social media, on Instagram, basically saying this is wrong. Like what happened
he had
to
before
Charlie
he
Kirk
made that joke.
Yeah.
If you go back and look at his Instagram and social media posts, he actually requested that all sides come together and can we not all just stop arguing back and forth and for a moment and reflect on this. Not that it makes it any better for what he said on, but I thought he probably had the biggest ratings of his career last night, I bet, huh?
You got to believe that was kind of the talkers, what he was going to say. The rest of the show, I don't know if people would have stuck around for, but certainly the monologue.
And he made fun of Trump, suggesting that he's for free speech, but in real time, he used Truth Social last night to say, I'm coming after you, Jimmy.
In so many words, absolutely. The way that Trump phrased it, he says he can't believe ABC fake news gave Jimmy Kimmel his job back. Never really lost the job per se. He was suspended. He wasn't canceled, although Trump said the White House was told that the Kimmel was canceled. So I guess it sounds like there's a bit of confusion there.
Well, no, I don't believe there's anything to be confused about there, Kevin. Well, you're going to have a few more details, and I'll give you the rest of what Jimmy said next hour as well, as much as we can, too. Some good stuff in there. See, Jammy News Time now is 6:58. Side Main Road, Side Main Stage, tears. Well, a couple of days ago, I was happy to be helping the Real District launch their new partnership with Bunge and bringing Canada's Farm Show to us in the new year. It used to be Viterra International Trade Center over there, but now the Viterra signs are gone. Viterra merged with Bunge, and the rebrand is taking place over the Real District. So the new signage, it all looks great everywhere. And after that official rebrand was announced, I, on Monday, took the Real CEO, Rick Bennett, aside, asked him a few questions. One was how he felt it was going as far as overcoming any perception out there that might be left over from people who are concerned that Real isn't, you know, or hasn't been run as well as it could or should be. And here's what Rick said.
I'd push back a little bit there, Greg. You know, when you look at the direction that we're taking, there's three priorities. One, we want to reestablish trust with the community. Two is really a financially sustainable operating model. And three, we need to reignite purpose. Let's not lose sight here that the services and programs that we provide through Real are not full cost recovery. So somebody's got to underwrite that cost to operate the Cooperator Center, for example. So there is tremendous value. There is direction that's established. And we just need to resolve that situation around governance for Real District in terms of what is the best way to deliver those services that are important to the community, but also commercially viable to underwrite the business operations.
CEO of the Real District, Rick Bennett there. I appreciate how he's navigating a new job. He's only been in the chair 3 months, and there's a lot of moving parts. But one could be out of his hands if the owners, say, the Pats, ever decided to show interest in, say, moving over to the Yards for a new arena built. I know it's a bit of a hypothetical, but I am hearing that the tenders are going to be going up for that area of the Yard soon. So what sort of impact might that have if an arena wound up in downtown in the Yard?
That's an interesting one. You know, my experience with sports and entertainment around the globe is that there's such a benefit to having a concentration of facilities, infrastructure, all in one spot. And the value that's created from that is a much better guest experience, commercially viable itself. You know, I think the Brandt Center, the Pats, and Real District are synonymous with each other. So to lose that significant portion of the business, yeah, that would be of concern to us. But we also recognize that we can't continue to operate a facility that's outdated and really weakens our position to pursue live entertainment events.
Now, a few weeks ago, Rick revealed here on the show how he'd been in talks with Chapel Rowan's management about coming to Regina in the new year, as she has publicly said she'd like to do. But I pushed Rick also, what else is in motion and what's in the cards?
Well, hey, we got the classic Frost coming back in 2026, and we got a really unique winter slide event that'll be featured in the stadium. What's upcoming? Brian Adams is next. Darius Rucker is right around the corner. Then we head into the Harlem Globetrotters. This is their 100th year anniversary tour. And then we've got Rock by Orchestra, which is a really unique candle-lit live entertainment rock inside event. So, no, just really excited. But again, we're now into that cycle where we start planning 2026. So, you know, a lot of phone calls are being made. We're having
lots. We got a couple of dates already on the calendar for that Mosaic Stadium concert.
Yeah, absolutely locked in. We're working really hard on one, which will be an absolute classic stadium concert, and we're really eager. We think we can bring it alive.
That's not the Chapel Roan one, though?
No, Chapel Roan. We've got to sit back and wait there a little bit. We've done as much as we can, and we said we're here to help you fulfill your promise, Chapel Roan, and the stadium's ready to go for her.
All right, Rick, always a good guy. I like what you're doing here at the Real District. Thanks for being on the show again.
Thank you, Greg. Let's keep chatting. Appreciate it.
Well, the Everbreak Show is on at 8:30, and special guest host has been Brett Laux, who I think has today. Yeah, last day today, Brett.
Yep, absolutely. Three-day work week. That's just the way I like it.
Boy, I think we could all enjoy something like that. How are you doing this morning? It was a beautiful sunrise here a short time ago in Regina. Can you believe it's going to be 30 degrees today?
Unbelievable. And the forecast well into next week, we're staying above normal for as far as they go down the road over the next 7 days. I'll take it. I love this time.
You live outside of town. How are the fields looking? The farm fields around Regina right now are still a buzz. Harvest is a little behind, but they're working overtime right now.
Yep, same here. Yeah, you drive out in the evening, and especially when the evenings are calm, you can see all the grain dust hanging in the air in a lot of fields as you got a lot of big harvest operations still going. But yeah, we'll be getting an update on the harvest from SaskAg this week. I know last week's report, we were about 20% behind the five-year average, but I'm thinking with this amazing weather we've been having, those numbers are probably going to tick up significantly here this week.
Mr. Lux, I know you watch a lot of baseball. You're loving the Blue Jays, although they lost again last night.
I'm stressed.
Are you really? What do they got? Like five games? There's too much pressure to kind of finish off like on top, isn't there? Right now?
Yep. Oh yeah. You know that this is the whole thing. Is we they're going to be in the playoffs. We just don't know where. We don't know if they'll get the bye or are they going to have to play in the wild card, which will get underway next week. And it's those damn Yankees that just. I just can't handle the New York Yankees, and they were so far back not that long ago. It looked like it was going to be a cakewalk, and now the Yankees are, I think, just a game back of the Jays. So, yeah, Jays got two more games with Boston here over the next couple of days to wrap up the regular season with a three-game series with Tampa, who are always tough as well for the Jays. And then we'll find out, I guess, late Sunday how the whole playoff picture is going to look for the Jays and all the other teams.
Kevin Martell, very excited this morning that his Mariners have officially... I guess clinched a spot there too. He seemed quite excited this morning. I'm not a big ball fan, although I've jumped on the Blue Jays bandwagon. I am a fan of Survivor, and it's 49th season tonight. And there's a guy, Jake Latimer, from Regina.
Yeah.
So this is kind of cool, isn't it? We've had a guy from Moose Jaw. I don't know. Anyone ever from Saskatoon? I can't recall.
Don't ask me difficult questions. You know, and I got to admit, in all those years of Survivor, I just was never a Survivor fan. I am sorry. Kick me off the island.
Well, you would never survive. You couldn't survive, Lux. You probably couldn't poop and pee. Like, you know, you'd be gone without food. Your innards are all messed up. It would be a lousy life. But I'll be watching that as you watch the Blue Jays. So what do I watch for in your show here today?
Well, we're going to kick off. We've got Robert Freeberg, Saskatchewan's firearms commissioner, as Ottawa announced yesterday. They're going ahead with a pilot project now on this whole gun buyback program, and it's going to start next month down in the Maritimes. We'll get some thoughts on that from Robert Freeberg. We've also got Tim McLeod. The Minister of Corrections is going to be here after 9 talking about the big expansion they just went through out at the Saskatoon Correctional Center, but Minister McLeod may also have some thoughts on this gun buyback program. Plus, we've got a reporter we'll be checking in with later this morning at that ostrich farm out in British Columbia, as it certainly sounds like they're moving closer to the Food Inspection Agency beginning the culling of these 400 ostriches out there. So a busy program on the way.
Okay. Brett Lux, nice job filling in for Evan Bray. I've enjoyed listening to you, and Evan's back tomorrow. Thanks for all your help.
Thank you, Greg.
Brett Lux at 8:30 for Evan Bray.